Welcome, everybody, to our live Selection Sunday edition of College Crosscast. I'm Ryan McDonald, otherwise known as Ryan McD29.
I'm Jake Nazar.
What up, Lax fan? It's Adam Epstein.
Hey, folks, how you doing? It's your boy, Erie Barrister.
And we're going to have some fun tonight. Hope you have the Selection Show all ready to go at 9 o'clock. You know, we'll be recording this as well just for the sake of it, having it on for our listeners. But otherwise, welcome to the College Crosscast Live 2017 Selection Sunday Special.
We're back!
And welcome to College Crosscast. Hello, everybody on Facebook.
This is going to be fun. Two times.
It's an exciting night.
A tradition like unlike any other. The live College Cross crosscast on Selection Sunday.
All Hello, right. friends.
All right. So for
today,
now, we'll have us four. Right now, we might have Chris join us a little bit later. He's currently going to be at a watch party for Syracuse, but it looks like that situation's evolving by the minute, so we might have Chris a little bit later.
And maybe a special guest, a.k.a. John Desco. We don't know. Like,
So how's everybody doing this evening?
Good.
I'm pins and needles, waiting for, I think we know what's all going to happen, but, you know, the committee always likes to throw a curveball in there.
I was much more nervous last year. This year, you know, the anxiety is not quite as high, but still very curious to see how the bracket looks.
Yeah, I was afraid I wasn't going to make it with y'all because of the Wizards, but I'm here.
What is the run still going, Jake? I just saw it was like 26-0.
It's still like 20 to 22 points.
Yeah, you picked a good night for this because the Zards are up by 21. The Oilers are up 6-1. So there's nothing better to watch than Selection Sunday, even though the teams are kind of set in stone. Well, we have this 25-minute span before the Selection Show starts, and then they fart around with coach interviews and stuff. Let's look back at conference championship weekend first. Given that we're ridiculously Big Ten biased tonight without Chris, I guess we'll start with the Big Ten real quick.
I think that would just be the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah. It's the best conference in lacrosse.
God's conference, once again, delivered.
Mark Dixon said it on live okay, on TV, so you know it's true.
I mean, just look at
facts.
The RPI.
Just like, facts.
Single digits in non-conference losses? I mean,
Chris
on.
Would be having a stroke right now, but Chris is not on.
And he's probably listening so angry right now.
And you know me, I would be the type that, you know, Syracuse is better off as an independent. So I don't, the hell with the other four ACC teams or whatever. But Chris is our ACC homer.
Chris would die on that hill, that's for sure. I'll give him that credit.
So Ohio State beat Hopkins 15-13, and then Maryland beat Penn State 8-6 in the semifinals, and then Maryland in a classic last night in Columbus. 10-9 victors over Ohio State to win the Big Ten and their auto bid. So the Terps all but locked up the one seed for the NCAA tournament unless the committee is high or something tonight, which you never know because this is an NCAA selection committee. But otherwise, the Terps do their work and win a very good championship game as well over the Buckeyes.
That game had Final Four preview written all over it.
Indeed. I would, as if the bracket lines up, I would not be surprised whatsoever. In fact, maybe even expect that's the game we see on Memorial Day.
I was very impressed with. Oh, sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
I love Ohio State, and I think they're probably the second best team in the country. But I'm unsure of their ability to win three straight games away from Columbus. I think they have a shot to get to the Final Four, but I'd be pretty surprised if they make it all the way to the championship game.
Well, they're a different team. They wouldn't have to win three straight to get to the championship game away from Columbus. Would just have to win two.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think they're going to win that many away from Columbus.
No. Well, yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
I was really impressed. I mean, I think Trey Leclerc coming from it was a highly touted recruit too. Maybe top three, if not the best freshman in the country. Shout out Michael Sowers. And of course, Jeff Teat, hashtag Chris Dostremski. But Leclerc just was his performance against Hopkins, 6 goals, I believe, right out of or right around there. And then another hat trick and assist in the title game versus Maryland. Aside from Connor Kelly, who was just on God mode, Leclerc is probably one of the most impressive players I've seen all year this year, especially in this tournament.
I mean, some of the goals he scored, just the way he, you know, handled the ball with his stick, and then we got the shots off, were, you know, kind of reminiscent of Dylan Malloy, and just some of the just freaky angles in which he was able to get shots off. And I mean, Maryland really didn't have, when he wanted to take the ball to the cage, Maryland really did not have an answer for him. He was pretty terrific.
People always say that Sergio Pergovic has the hardest shot in lacrosse, but those people have not seen Trey Leclerc shoot the ball. He has an absolute cannon, and he's only a freshman. He looks like a football player. He's got to be shooting it over 110 miles an hour. If he has time and room, there's no goalie that can stop his low to high rip. So yeah, I definitely think he shoots it probably harder than anybody else, and he's only a freshman, which is very scary.
It just explodes off of his stick. I think it was maybe his second goal,
that he hit from like, I mean, it was like just inside the box. Like, I mean, it was good 20 feet out there. I mean, it was a ridiculous shot.
I was impressed with is it Henningsen? Jake, he actually, I thought he did really well against Withers, who is probably, you know,
Henningsen,
one of the top guys in the country right now.
Henningsen had a better game than he did against Withers the first time. He didn't win every faceoff, obviously, but he did a better job in terms of containing and, you know, fighting for it off the draw. He kind of mucked it up a little bit, made a fight for it, and I think the key to the game, or the difference, was Maryland double pulled on the faceoff, so they moved Bryce Young up from close D along with Matt Neufeld on the faceoff, so two poles on the wings instead of Neufeld and Isaiah Davis Allen. And I think that they won, I think, 4 straight draws in the fourth quarter, and I think that was a big turning point in the game, because to that point, Ohio State had been just dominating at the faceoffs.
That's an adjustment that I wish Hopkins had made against Withers, because Hunter Moreland was winning the clamp on Withers pretty much every time. He was beating him to the ball, but he just couldn't get the ball cleanly out of his stick, and Withers is just so much more athletic. He'd always just end up with the ground ball. Hopkins didn't really make any adjustments, and Hopkins wins, you know, 3 or 4 more faceoffs in that game. They could have sent it to overtime, but they didn't.
I would
really clean game tip by both of them. Oh, sorry, Jake.
I was going to say, I would like to give a hat tip and shout out to Jared Bernhardt for one of the most incredible checks I've ever seen in my life. At the end of the game, I've been critical of Bernhardt a little bit recently, but that check he made, you know, full diving out on a Ohio State transition that looked like it was going to tie the game up at 10. That was pretty phenomenal.
All right, so that was the Big Ten. So I agree with you guys. That might be a Memorial Day weekend preview to come between the Buckeyes and the Terps. But we got to move on to a couple other conferences before we start our in-and-out convo before the selection show starts. The Big East ended up being the Havoc Conference. First, the big upset, Marquette over Denver by a score of 11-8. So the Pioneers are going to have to resort to an at-large, which means Pop goes the bubble, probably to Rutgers. We'll see if the committee throws us a curveball. But that was very bad news for the Scarlet Knights. And in the other game, Providence upset Villanova. Villanova looked like the team that everyone was pegging if anyone was going to take down Denver, it'd be the Wildcats, but they don't even get that opportunity to get to the final as the Friars win that. And then in the title game, Marquette wins 10-9. So Marquette goes from the number 4 seed to representing the Big East as the auto bid.
Once again, back-to-back.
Yep. And back-to-back years at their upset of Denver or sends ripples across the NCAA tournament field.
Indeed.
I think Marquette's win over Denver showed us that Denver is a really vulnerable team if Baptiste isn't dominating faceoffs. Since they have him and he's so good, they have a chance to beat anybody and make a huge run because they have him. But if he isn't, you know, stellar, they're not that great on defense or outside of Canizero on offense. Ethan Walker's been great, but like their midfield isn't too deep. I don't think that team scares anyone unless Baptiste is dominating. So their success is entirely dependent on him.
He has to be beyond stellar. Like, I mean, it's not enough to, you know, go, you know, 12 of 20 or, you know, something like that. I mean, he's got to win like 3/4 of every draw. Like, you know, 3 out of every 4, he's got to win. Because if Denver's stuck on defense for long periods of time, I mean, they just don't have the men back there to, you know, lock down and stop teams. And, you know, their offense is a typical Beal Tierney offense in which it is slow, it is plodding, and it takes its time, and it needs possessions. It's talented, no doubt about it, and it's efficient, no doubt about it, but it needs possessions. It's not going to get you in transition. It's not going to, you know, go in hyperspeed and, you know, get goals in the way that, you know, a team like Penn State might. They need possessions. And so on both ends, you know, they need them so the defense isn't stuck out there too long and giving up goals, and they need it so the offense can work the style that they like to work.
I mean, it is what it is, like happened, you know, in the preseason, but I definitely think Denver's feeling the loss of Zach Miller. I mean, it seems like a pretty obvious comment. I mean, Miller was a multi first team All-American, if I'm not mistaken, or he was definitely at least a one-time first team All-American, and he was, you know, able to seamlessly go from attack to midfield and back if needed. And you kind of lose that unexpectedly. Obviously, Denver's a deep squad, but you know, you kind of can kind of see that lack of, you know, senior guy that you know can get you a point or, you know, or make that crisp pass that for that extra goal. But, you know, Denver's still a dangerous team, but I agree with both you guys. They are susceptible to an upset with a team that can, you know, go toe-to-toe with Baptiste. And Baptiste is amazing, you know. He's one of our favorite players, but, you know, they do lean on him quite a lot.
A quick thought. Marquette, though, I mean, this is a team that really has been showing up in the Big East tournament. They did it once again this year, so big props to them to get into the NCAA tournament the second straight year.
Well, after so many losses, I mean, that was a big-time class last year. I believe that was their first full four-year class. So you lost Liam Byrne, All-American defenseman, a couple other, you know, four-year players that Amplo was able to guide, obviously, last year to tournament. So for Amplo to come back and kind of a down year, Marquette was not doing that well through the middle of the season. For them to come to that, it's pretty impressive.
I know Amplo is not the biggest name out there in terms of coaching, but Michigan's going to do their due diligence on him. They're going to kick the tires because he can coach. He is a phenomenal coach.
Eddie, we're going to just move along a little bit quickly. In the America East, no such upset. Albany takes care of business. First, they blow out Stony Brook 19-6. In the other semifinal, Binghamton beat UMBC 9-4. And then Albany laid the hammer on the Bearcats 20-8. They will represent the America East. So Albany, all is well, it ends well, all good. Run the table in the America East. They're set for the NCAA tournament. In the Thunderdome, the Colonial, UMass pulls off the buzzer-beater upset over Hofstra. A 45 or so yard goal at the buzzer wins it for the Minutemen and end the Pride season effectively. I don't see them getting in as an at-large. Before that, though, Towson beat Drexel 8-4, and Towson ended any Cinderella run for the Minutemen with a 9-4 win in the title game yesterday.
The Tigers and the captain do what they do best, and that is take care of business in April and May. Towson won 6 of their last 7 games after Once on April 1st, they beat Drexel 8-7, then beat UMass. Delaware lost to Fairfield, beat Hofstra, Drexel, and then UMass in the championship game to wrap up another bid to the NCAA tournament. I remember saying back when we did the pod a couple weeks ago that, you know, it was going to come down to whether Hofstra could match Towson's experience and leadership in getting the job done when it matters most. And Hofstra lost three of the last four, and Towson won six of the last seven. And, you know, that's been the story of the Thunderdome Conference for the last couple years.
In the SoCon, Richmond beat Furman 13-6 in their semifinal, and Air Force took care of business against a Jacksonville team that actually put a little bit of a scare in that game, 11-8. But when all is said and done, it wasn't Richmond who came away with the victory. It was Air Force. The number one seed in the conference is the one that actually takes care of business. Even though Richmond was ranked, they win by a score of 9-6, which means Richmond lost 6-9, which we're not going to get the nice because Chris isn't here.
Nice.
in the NEC, a little bit of an old guard feel to it because in the semifinals, Bryant beat Robert Morris 12-3. Hobart beat Sacred Heart 15-9, but then in the title game, it's a little bit of an old school. Well, going back to a couple years ago, it's the usual suspect of Bryant coming away with the victory, 5-4 victories over Hobart, so the Statesmen unable to win the tournament on their home field, and Bryant will be making their return to the NCAA tournament, most likely in the play-in game.
Which means they won't be playing Syracuse, which is good for you, right?
Yes. 2013 was bad enough, then 2014 happened. So, needless to say, happy for that one.
Did they play 2015 too?
No, 2015 we played...
I think they played Bryant again.
No, I think we played Marist. Let me just see.
Oh, that might be it. I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah. You played Hopkins in the quarterfinal and lost.
Yeah, well...
I remember that game. I was there.
I just want to say quickly before we move on to the other ones, I really feel bad for Richmond. I mean, take away their Air Force losses, which were actually pretty close, two in the regular season and three, obviously, in the championship game. They only lost two other games all season, and both of them by one. And both of them were, you know, they grabbed defeat from the jaws of victory in the Virginia game and Duke game. They were leading late. It's pretty heartbreaking for the Spiders who and Chamati's lads. They played excellent this season. You know, it's going to be probably cut short, but, you know, just want to say them in Providence. Providence also, well, you know, just I think they lost four games by one or in overtime and a fifth by two. You know, and they went 10-7 this year. You know, a lot of quality teams this year that are not going to keep playing the rest of the into the big barbecue.
Well, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, as we like to say. And speaking of which, in the Ivy League, which there was a lot of almost that ended up making this into a one-bid league, we had some good ones. As Hoya Suxa, our good friend, did some guest posts this week of all the analytics that went into these conference tournament previews. He kidded around that the Ivy League tournament is controlled by a drunken penguin named Mr. Pringles. And boy, did Mr. Pringles host a great tournament because all three games were slobber knockers. Real good games there in New Haven. On Friday, Brown beats Princeton 17-15, meaning Princeton blew their chance to renew the rivalry with Syracuse because it was wide open, but so it goes. Brown with a furious fourth quarter comeback get the victory there. And then a quadruple overtime classic between Yale and Penn sees the Bulldogs come away with the victory 13-12. A lot of heart-stopping moments in that one. That one was a fun way to spend a Friday night. And then this afternoon wasn't too shabby either. Yale and a nip and tuck affair with Brown get the Ivy League championship 10-9. They win the regular season title and the postseason title. And if there's anything about the Yale Bulldogs, they know how to get it done in the Ivy League tournament, and that will be the same this year.
IL's Matt Kinnear dropping some hot tweets about the Ivy League tournament maybe at a permanent site in the future, or at least there's some discussions about that. And Columbia seems to be the one school leading, the one school that doesn't have a D1 men's program. But maybe that portends to some things in the future, but
never happening. Never.
We got to get Obama on this. get his alma mater to level up or something.
Well, I think it would be a good site for, neutral site for the Ivy League. I mean, obviously, every Ivy League school has a huge alumni base in New York City, so it might, and it's the one Ivy League school that doesn't have a program, so it makes that as a perfect neutral site. So,
such a weird location.
Yeah, it's literally on the tip top of Manhattan.
Yeah, I don't really consider that Manhattan.
Take it to the city.
That or... Adam as a big city guy.
Well, I mean, I lived at Columbia for a year and a half. It's like, it doesn't really feel like Manhattan, and the stadium is like 15 minutes north of campus.
Yeah, it's actually not on campus. It's because Columbia is actually like, what, about 20 blocks to the south, I think.
I think more than that.
Yeah, it's something really like that. Yeah, because I know when you're on the Amtrak train, you can see the Columbia Stadium. And it's like
it's right near on the it's near the bridge.
Yeah, it's right on the Harlem River.
Let's go. Get back on track.
Yes. Thank you,
Jake. It's not a, I don't love it as a venue, but I can understand the why they would try and do something like that.
I see the thumbs up on the video once Jake said, hurry up. I think everyone appreciates it. NAAC, though. Monmouth, 11-7 victory on Friday. Marist with taking that home field advantage to good use in an 8-5 victory over Canisius. And then Monmouth hold on to win 9-8 to Marist. So welcome the Monmouth Hawks to the NCAA tournament in their fourth year. From winless in their first year, those freshmen have become seniors that are now going to the big barbecue, albeit in the play-in game, but still a great accomplishment for the Hawks, who, by the way, are probably going to be the only team in New Jersey to make the NCAA tournament, which is kind of crazy considering how we felt Rutgers was going to be this year and how Princeton looked midseason.
Owners of the nation's
longest history.
Yes!
Trademark. Another awesome season, but, I mean, they only lost 3 games all year, and 2 of them were in overtime, and the Hofstra loss was by 2 early the season. Monmouth has had a fantastic season, and shout out to Coach Fisher for really, you know, having an outstanding season. You know, it's a mid-level conference, but still, winning 11 games in a row is still impressive, no matter where you play. So, yeah, I mean, happy to see them get in.
From winless to NCAA tournament is, for one senior class, is pretty phenomenal. I mean, that's obviously it's an incredible feeling for them, you know, but that's an incredible achievement to, you know, to just grow that much in a span of 4 years and to not get, you know, discouraged or anything, and to cap their last year off like this, that's phenomenal.
And better things to come too for Monmouth. The reason why the tournament was at Marist is because they're upgrading their stadium. So that's going to be awesome for Monmouth for years to come. Very good to start off, to lay a foundation, the first class getting into the NCAA tournament like that. And then in the Patriot League ACC Challenge Weekend, you know how the SEC has the SEC SoCon Challenge Weekend, a week of meaningless games before rivalry week. We had Syracuse barely beat Colgate 11-9. If it weren't for a buzzer beater goal by Evan Malloy, it would have been a one goal game again for Syracuse. And Army beats Notre Dame in overtime 10-9. You can tell Chris is not on this show because we are not doing the hey knife stuff. So that is that. But Army with a big victory, that's going to screw up quite a bit of the seeding there. That was,
is it though?
A little
it
bit.
It might
Notre Dame drops from like 3 to 4. Maybe it's not going to change anything that much.
They could drop to 5.
They could drop to 5 or 6.
I wouldn't say 6. Probably maybe. Not. 5, I absolutely could see 5.
Maybe.
And that was bringing up the possibility for Rutgers to sneak in, but they needed help as well from Brown. That didn't happen, and then they got less help from BU. Duke beat them 18-8 in Bethpage. I had no idea that this game was in the town next to me today, but it didn't really matter because the weather wasn't that great, and the game apparently wasn't that great either, though there was a scary injury for one of BU's players, from what I understand. So our thoughts hope that he has a full recovery from that one. I'm not sure who did, though. I know I'm sounding awful, but all I know is that there was a major injury for them. Mike Laviano. BU actually tweeted out 2 hours ago, he's just fine, he's in good spirits, and will stay overnight in the hospital as a precaution. So good to hear that, and best of luck on his recovery there. So while we have 2 minutes before, or a minute before ESPNU starts the telecast, granted they do nothing but fluff for the first 20 minutes and make us sit through a phone interview with Bill Tierney, probably like every other year. So I guess as of now, unless there's some huge surprise by the committee, I think we're seeing Denver and UNC as the last two in, right?
Yes. Rest in peace to Rutgers. They died for our sins, and they died way too soon.
Yeah.
They get Adam Sherrill and Embiid is back next year, so that's good for you, Rutgers. other than that, that's good. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry.
I'm sure that feels great for them right now.
You guys deserve to make the tournament based on just purely being a good team, but the resume just isn't good enough compared to some of the other teams.
I'm obviously a Jersey homer, but a dose of reality, that Maryland game. I mean, plenty of opportunities. If they just had that Maryland game, I think they're in.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
They win that, they're in. And, I mean, it just stinks that it's just a scenario that happened. You know, UNC ran the table, and then Denver lost in the Big East, and that kind of doomed Rutgers, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know there's, you know, some Rutgers fans out there who, you know, want to, I don't know, add teams to the tournament or, you know, are really upset about this. And, you know, I get it. I understand the frustration. It's got to be just, you know, a big gut punch for this happen for the second year in a row. But, I mean, it just is what it is. You know, I went through every possibility I could find to see if there was a way Rutgers could get into the tournament. And, unfortunately, it just, unless the committee pulls a complete shock, it just hasn't happened, which, again, is a shame, but, you know, that's just how the luck breaks sometimes. That's what happens when you have, you know, automatic qualifiers in conference tournaments. Sometimes surprises happen.
Absolutely nothing broke their way with Brown losing, Duke winning, Albany winning, Denver losing. Like, it was pretty much the nightmare scenario for them.
Yeah, they needed Brown to win, or they needed Princeton to win the Ivy to bolster that. They needed Army to win the Patriot League in addition to the Notre Dame win. The Notre Dame win would have helped, but it would have helped even more if Army beat Loyola. It's just like a series of unfortunate events for the Knights, I think.
And, I mean, if Denver won the Big East tournament, they'd be in.
Yeah, that's the big, big one. That was,
there was a lot of, you know, ancillary things, you know, that happened alongside that. But the big one was ultimately that if Denver hadn't lost, they'd be in. But
yeah. And additionally, if they get that Maryland win in, they probably step ahead of Denver.
Yeah, maybe, you know, but that Maryland, they had gotten that Maryland win, they would have won, or they would have gotten in, and they had their chances.
And they would have been in the Big Ten tournament as well. I think. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, right? Yeah, because they'd have two wins.
I don't know how tiebreaker would have shaken out, but that Maryland win, they had their chances. They won like 10 faceoffs in a row into the fourth quarter and overtime. They, you know, Maryland was basically dead on their feet and begging to be put to mercy, and Rutgers couldn't put it away. And, you know, we said at the time that was a win they needed to get in. It was possible that they could have, you know, got in anyway if Denver hadn't have lost, but they did, and them's the breaks.
All right, the ESPNU telecast is all good to go.
Kark is looking sharp.
They showed the Cuse locker room. I did not see Chris.
They showed him.
I think they like shoved him in the corner or something.
Wow, he lied. He didn't want to join us. Unbelievable.
Wow. Way to go, Chris. We know you're working on a final paper. That is not as much of a Windsor nod as I'd expect on Quinn. All right, just so we all sync up, because last year I was way ahead of Adam, I'm going to point out when a graphic pops up or something. Okay, graphics up now.
I'm good. We're good.
Yay, we're all on good. Sync this year.
What a time to be alive.
Unless Jake's 10 seconds ahead of me. Unless that's only the NBC networks. It might be the NBC networks, given our hockey talk. But Alrighty. So there's going to be a little bit of dead air because we're listening to the TV as well. So if you're listening to the recorded podcast, Maryland number one seed, we knew that.
Terps.
There we go.
Yeah, so if you're listening to the recorded version, there might be some dead air and everything because the purpose of this was to be a live podcast. We just have it recorded as well for the sake of boosting our iTunes and Google Play numbers because we're greedy like that. All right, Syracuse is a two. Again, not really that much of a surprise. I think three onwards where we got into the
yeah, there was some
the intrigue.
Yeah, the two, obviously, the Patrick Stevens and Inside the Cross Bracketologies differed pretty much from three on out. I think Stevens had Ohio State as a four or five. I think IL had Ohio State as a three, and there you
Ohio
go. Buckeyes are a
three.
There we go. Ohio.
All right, that would set up an Ohio State-Maryland rematch in the title game, which would be one fun Memorial Day, I think, if they get there. But we got to see how the brackets shake out, because I think more than any tournament we've ever had, it's all going to be dictated on matchups.
Buckeyes are a three seed for the second time. They were a three seed back in 2013.
There you go.
Notre Dame at four. Okay, so
I knew they wouldn't. They never bump them down. They always give them a good seed.
Yeah, I guess the RP, they stuck
the 8-5 Notre Dame who gamed the schedule.
Yeah, I think with Notre Dame, they're giving them a huge RPI boost compared to anything else. And I don't know, maybe like, I don't think the Army game might have even mattered that much then if they
won. Wow.
Denver 5. Oh, all right.
Wow.
That's something, all right.
That is suspicious.
Wow.
God, Denver versus Notre Dame would be the most overrated quarterfinal I think I've ever seen.
I am
surprised. I'm shocked at that.
Jeez.
They're just doing that to justify sending Air Force.
Yeah, Air Force.
Yeah, that matters.
Oh!
Gets it 6! 8-6 Johns Hopkins, who lost to unranked Princeton 18-7.
Folks, the Jays are here. Where are they at,
what
though?
What the hell are they doing with this?
Hopkins is not going to get a home game.
What are they thinking here? Those are three overrated teams in a row. 7 Penn State. I would put Penn State at 4.
4 Big Ten teams are seeds.
That's amazing.
I would put Penn State at 4 over Denver, Notre Dame, and Hopkins. I mean, Penn State looks much better than that.
There'd be the 7th seed and the 6th seed, because that gives you a Cuse quarterfinal instead of Ohio State.
Great Danes.
And Albany at 8. Albany does get a home game. That's good. Good to see them get rewarded. So then, who are they going to send a bus to Albany, though? Because
who was 7? Sorry, guys, I skipped that.
7 was Penn State.
Penn State, perfect.
So Albany was a 4 in both the bracketology projections.
Yeah, I think
so.
That was a little high for Albany, but good to see them at least get a seed. I was worried that they're going to make them unseeded.
And that sets up a potential Albany-Maryland rematch in the quarterfinals.
Maryland's road's not as easy now with that. But
Twitter does not like Hopkins at 6, and I love it.
I love the selection committee.
Penn State should have been over 2 of them at least, I think.
I don't see why Penn State should be over Hopkins. I don't think what Penn State did deserve anything over Hopkins. I mean, you can argue Hopkins shouldn't be 6,
now,
but
here's what I want to know, though. With Albany, who are they going to send there? Because the only other Northeast team that they can do is
Yale.
But Yale with Syracuse, are they going to...
Syracuse was... There was a... IL had Loyola going to Syracuse...
Well, wouldn't Loyola make more sense to go to Penn State, considering Penn State has a game? Or are they going to do a Midwest at school? Obviously, Marquette to Notre Dame makes sense.
We're going to find out.
Denver. I know. I'm just talking, spitballing. I'm going to wait for the B. Oh, we're going straight to the brackets. No BS interview with Bill Tierney or John Nanowski this year.
They heard us.
We've been pushing our agenda. Okay, Brian and Monmouth versus Maryland.
Maryland-Albany quarterfinal is pretty brutal.
Yeah. All right, let's see who Albany gets. Usually the NCAA goes a little bit more 8-9 than travel consideration.
I think they're going to get Duke or Loyola. I don't think they're going to get
Duke would be a long trip up there.
Yeah, mate.
That'd be a long
trip. Yeah, I don't know if they send Loyola to Happy Valley or to Albany.
I could see Towson also. I don't think
they're going to. Yeah, that's right. They could also put Towson in Penn State.
Chris hooked us up with
7:30
nice,
Eastern night
game in Albany. That's
North
Carolina.
Oh, let's go!
Oh boy,
that is going to be a fun one.
Oh my!
So
wow.
R.I.P. Rutgers.
Oh, that is something. 7:30. Albany might break their.
That is going to be fun.
Albany will probably break their all-time attendance record with that game. Night start 7:30 against the defending champs.
Yeah, that is going to be a great one.
That'll be something.
Yeah, that is going to be.
Did people actually thought Albany was going to get? Actually, think Albany was going to get like a top 5 seed?
I
was like, there was no way they're going to get it. I mean, Albany's a good team. I love them. I love the Danes. Love them more, obviously. But I was like, there's no way they're going to get a top 5 seed. Like, there was no quality win besides Yale. Yeah, like, on the record.
They clearly don't care about the eye test. It's all about the numbers.
Probably.
I mean, every time Albany plays, they look like one of the best teams in the country. But you look at, you know, who they've beaten, and they haven't beaten anybody. So. Clearly, that's what the selection committee was thinking there.
Now, here's a modest proposal. Put the play-in game on at least ESPN3 instead of having to go to a paywall and have to go on NAAC's website or something like that.
This is kind of a tough draw for Maryland. I mean, I still expect them to get to the Final Four. But
that got a lot tougher. They would have been much better off with, like, a rematch with Hopkins and then someone else. But the winner of Albany-UNC, that is – even if they win, which I would expect them to win, that's going to be a tall – you know, that's going to be a tough game to play in.
John Tillman will have his team prepared. Like, let's...
You will, but I...
I mean, that was a close game the first time they played each other, you know, if they meet up again, Albany and Maryland.
Now, are they funneling Maryland? I'm guessing they're funneling Maryland to...
Maryland's going to Delaware.
Going to Delaware, right. Okay, so that, yeah, that... If Albany was at... If they funneled Maryland into Hofstra, that would have been a very tough game playing Albany.
That would have been absurd. That would have been absurd.
Yeah, but. Maryland... Because if Albany was playing at Hofstra, they'd have a huge home field advantage there. Because there's a lot of Long Islanders that are Albany alums. But, man.
It's difficult, but I... Maryland hasn't lost a quarterfinal game under John Tillman yet, and I'll wait and see when... I'll see it to believe it when they do.
Chris is reporting from the Syracuse locker room. Plenty of ooze when UNC got Albany. They're also eating pizza.
Wow, he shared a great video.
Hard-hitting journalism.
That is he's incredible pizza, detail.
He's eating pizza, but he got completely left out of the team
photo. What kind of pizza is it? Where did they order from?
It better be varsity.
How many slices are they having?
What toppings? Come on, Christopher. We need details.
Is it greasy? Is there any New York flop?
Do they put pineapple on it so I can block them in that scenario?
Oh, we need answers, Chris. Where did you go?
This is what we're talking about when Quint and his absurdly tight tie is talking with Kark about
UNC
and Albany.
No wins or not. What's going on, Quint? We need the wins or not.
Wait, I like Quint's outfit. I like that shirt tie jacket combo.
It's so tight on the neck.
I won't blame Quint because I'm kind of uptight with my formal wear as well. So
shut up, Ryan.
Michigan is on the top 15 jump. All right, yeah. By the way, what a banner week for lacrosse Twitter.
Just amazing. The String King take Woods. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
We've gone off the rails.
Please do not. Please know that our contributors do not completely reflect the opinions of College Cross, SB Nation, Vox, or any of our subsidiaries.
NBC or Comcast.
All right, here we go. Right. We're back.
Okay, let's all shut up.
Yep, back to the.
Denver. It's going to be Air Force. Yeah. Boom. I don't like that.
Air Force is a plucky team. That is not going to be a... You know, Denver gets advantages because, you know, teams have to travel to, you know, the altitude.
Air Force,
they're acclimatized. That'll be a...
And they're a military academy.
That'll be a difficult game for the Pios. Not necessarily saying upset alert, but, you know, one to watch out for.
All right, so for Notre Dame, they're going to get Marquette then. So this isn't really much of a...
What a boring region.
That is, yeah, that's the region of...
We want to save money on air flight.
Notre Dame and Marquette are a combined 16 and 12. Like,
snooze fest.
Good Lord.
Sunday at noon, so go out to brunch.
Oh, wow, that's perfect time for a nap. My goodness.
Watch Tottenham Man United for the first half of that one. Yeah, that you could call that the we want to save on airfare region. Now, I guess they're going to funnel them to Hofstra, right? Because JFK makes it easy for flights from Chicago and Denver and Milwaukee.
I'm not very in tune with the airfare, you know, kind of deal.
I know.
That's not my forte.
This bracket's not doing a whole lot for the growth of the game,
because
only one of these teams is going to make the Final Four.
Now, wait, are they going to do a Charles Street Derby for the first round?
Loyola Hopkins.
Because, again, we're saving a lot of money.
I'm going to say the Duke goes to Hopkins.
Well, Loyola and Towson are both there in Hopkins.
It's going to be one of those three teams, obviously. I think the six seed suggests they're going to get either Towson or Loyola.
Uh-huh. And then Syracuse Duke would get Yale, and Duke will get Penn State would get Duke. Probably.
People are going to flip out if it's Towson. And Towson's a good team, obviously. I'm not trying to slag on them. But people are going to lose their minds if Hopkins got a six seed and they'll play Towson.
That'd be disrespectful to Towson. I don't.
Exactly. I said
Towson beat Hopkins.
I'm with you. I'm totally on that. But I just like
Towson beat Hopkins without Hunter Moreland. We lost every faceoff in that game.
I'm not trying to
closer
put against Hopkins. I'm just mentioning that, you know.
No. I'm with you, Jake, and that's exactly my point. Like, I mean, Towson
makes a tournament virtually every year. So I mean, if you're acting like that's, you know, some sort of, you know, easy matchup for.
I mean, they beat Denver Hopkins last year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm now an accredited Towson Homer, but you know,
shout out to our Tiger.
We're gonna have Colonial coverage next year for once. Yay, we don't have to go out and get a Colonial beat reporter.
I need you to get a fedora, Jake, and like a little card that says press, and then put it on the fedora and interview and get on the Tiger Lax report with Captain.
Just wait for the Hofstra game where it's just Jake completely making Seth Tierney's life miserable from the sideline.
Why do you still have a job?
You got an extension in the other year. No disrespect to Hofstra, but I mean, they got it. Coffee's for closers. Sorry, Brian. You know I love you, but.
It's a very interesting video of Joe Bresci.
Yes.
I wonder where they pulled that footage from.
Please don't tell me they're doing a coach interview to stall this out, because they were doing so well.
I respect them for giving equal coverage, but we did not need even 5 seconds of analysis of Notre Dame Marquette.
It's like, these teams are geographically close. Milwaukee and South Bend with Chicago in between.
Of all the lacrosse games that have ever happened, that is going to be one of them.
Other sports update, it's 7-1 Oilers in the second intermission. The Zards beat the Celtics 121-102. And the Rockets are up 12-4 on the Spurs. So, that is that for now.
That Notre Dame Marquette game, I'd be a little worried if I was Notre Dame fans. You know, just they've already played each other once, and Marquette should have won that game, but it was close.
Last year, that was my upset special, was Marquette over Notre Dame. And, this year could also be Marquette over Notre Dame. Well, no, my upset special, I think I've already blurted this out, will be whoever's playing Syracuse, because I have no faith in the Orange lately. But
just so we can get some other lax news in here, the Maryland women are the number one seed in the NCAA tournament in that bracket for the fifth consecutive year. So
I'm guessing UNC's two in that, right?
I don't know. I just saw this come up. But yeah, for the second consecutive year, Maryland has swept the number one seeds.
Why are we doing the NCAA women and the men's D3 selection shows the same exact time as the men's D1? It's like way too much going on here.
Because
Jake, what was that regular season stat you threw out yesterday about Maryland women? Was it like 38?
Maryland women have won 38 consecutive regular season games.
Wow.
But they somehow lost to you. I still have no idea how they lost to UNC last year.
That senior class has lost three games in their entire careers, and two of them were national championship games.
Wow.
Let me know what Princeton's seat is. And Syracuse is too.
So the 3-6 part of the bracket, is that Hofstra?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Because I would Ohio love...
Penn State would be the 3-6.
Well, no, Penn State 7. So Penn State.
Oh, Penn State 7.
Ohio State Hopkins.
Yeah.
So
Ohio State
Hopkins is not liking that. But, I mean, at least Hopkins would finally get to play them away from Columbus.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what I was
if it happens, for. No predictions. No
I
predictions
think I'd
here.
Rather play Syracuse in the quarterfinal than Ohio State.
Oh, I would.
That's assuming Hopkins gets by whoever they're playing first round, which is quite a stretch at this point.
So of the seedings, while we're still dead air, what's your biggest surprise?
I'm not sure.
Denver is a 5 seems.
Denver is a 5.
I thought Denver would have been 6.
Yeah, I thought Denver would be a 7. Hopkins is a 6 is a little high, but Hopkins I would have seen as a 7 or an 8 anyway.
6 through 8 were all interchangeable.
Yeah.
But
I thought Denver, Albany would have been higher than 8, too. I saw them as 6.
I thought
or
Albany is a 6, not a 4, but I saw Albany as like 6.
All right, lower bracket is coming up now.
All right, so Ohio State, I'm going to guess Loyola. Ohio
State.
Yeah,
Loyola.
Yeah, Loyola.
The old ECAC rivalry.
So I would guess Towson and Hopkins would be
Towson or Duke has to be.
Towson might go to Cuse.
No, I think you're going to put – well, actually, then again, that's a good point. Yale can afford to go anywhere because they're
– I don't think they send Yale to Hopkins. That doesn't make
sense. No, they'll put – but I think they'll put Yale at Syracuse. I think
yeah, I think that that's yeah, the yeah. one that's going to happen, Yale.
Yeah, because you got to
– which, I mean, how do you feel about that, Ryan? Like,
not great. I wasn't – I was,
not great, Bob.
Yeah, I was not feeling happy about playing Yale, Brown, or Princeton.
All right, here we go. 2:30. Homewood's going to be packed, hopefully.
I'm gonna go with Duke. Oh! Duke, they're not saving money.
Let's go. They want ratings.
Talk about the ratings.
Yeah,
they want ratings.
Yes.
Get money.
Yeah, because Loyola and Towson are right down the road, but no, we're going to send Duke for the ratings.
Look, if Homewood cancel out for a 2:30 Eastern game against Duke, I'm going to march down there myself and demand answers from Johns Hopkins.
6 seed now because they got Duke, which is essentially the equivalent of getting an 8 seed because they're the best non-seeded team.
Yeah.
Or I think in the committee's eyes, the best non-seeded team was UNC.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The committee's wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. But I mean, that's going to be tough for Hopkins. But I mean, Saturday's going to be so much fun. We got Duke Hopkins in the afternoon, which I'll be streaming for work for most of it. And then at night, the Albany UNC game. So Saturday is going to be
making up for the complete disaster that is Sunday.
Sunday, we get to start off with you. Notre Dame Marquette, and then we got
and then
Ohio
Maryland,
State Loyola.
Maryland versus
first to play in, and
in the plan.
Syracuse and Yale will go to a 7-6 game, one way or the other, to cap off the night. Because everyone forgets that Syracuse is now everything that they hated, and is a stall ball team now. And
Yale. Syracuse just like, you know, announce ahead of time that they're playing Sunday, like
Sunday
at 7:30.
At 7:30, because
seriously,
yeah.
I mean, really,
I love that.
You know what
that
it is?
Jake pointed out, yeah. What's the surprise in that? It's graduation day. Of course, they're gonna play 7:00. They need to clear out the dome. It's like a miracle that they clear out the dome after graduation, because I was like in awe when I had graduation in the morning, and then I'm back at the dome later in the day, and it's all set up for the NCAA first round with nothing from graduation left behind. They put the women at the soccer stadium because the women's tournament now has a first round and a second round the same week, and so a game Thursday and Saturday and whatnot. But yeah, they just go ahead. Yeah, Syracuse, we're seated.
Is Loyola the most like benign and forgettable tournament team ever? Like I'm still not actually sure Loyola's even in the tournament.
They're quietly playing really well right now. I mean, their game with Ohio State.
The Patriot League sucks.
I hope Marissa's not listening.
Did you guys see?
No argument there, but they're still good.
Eamon's over here firing off some pretty hot tweets. Did you see
them? Well, I'm blocking tickets in the TV ratings.
The Air Force one was hilarious. How does 5th-seeded Denver get Air Force? I wonder. Can you look... Can lacrosse please stop bending over backwards for the old guard? I'm trying to think which one is the old guard. I guess maybe
Bill Tierney, and that's all that's really old guard about Denver.
Air Force is the old guard.
I don't see him complaining that Notre Dame just drew a team that's 8-7.
Those dang pesky military academies that have been ruling college across since the 50s.
I'm still a bit surprised, though, that they didn't keep any of the Baltimore teams together and gave Hopkins Duke, except for TV ratings, of course.
I think they're trying to avoid rematches, yeah. Because Hopkins has played both of those teams already.
Okay, yeah, so Penn State kicks us off.
And they'll play, I would guess,
Towson. Upset alert, Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that is an upset.
Yeah, because Towson's defense can give you fits.
Towson, Madeline
did it last year.
A notch below the Ohio State, you know, just like this tough, strong guys, very physical, and you know, can play with any style. Like, I'd be kind of concerned about.
So Syracuse, huge.
So Syracuse, Yale.
Yeah. Face-off battle between Arcari and Whittle. Have they said where the sites are?
Syracuse is going to go to Hofstra no matter what.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a Hofstra bracket here.
All right, so that means Hopkins is probably Delaware. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we got to find out what's going on with those.
They got to put up in Delaware. That's a game.
That means I get to go to Grotto's Pizza. Very good pizza place in Delaware.
By the way, if you are going to the Hofstra quarterfinal, you can hang out with me. I'm going to do a...
$10 to meet Ryan McDonald.
Yeah. This could have been you, Princeton.
The Saturday games are so much better.
It is, yeah. This
I'm gonna be asleep by the time Syracuse Yale actually happens.
Wow. All
right, I need to see the whole thing now. Yeah, my brain can't piece all this together.
I haven't been excited for a Syracuse first-round game of the Dome since, like, the first Syracuse first-round game of the Dome I ever watched.
Actually, now that I think about it, my friend who went to Penn State, that would be a fun tailgate, Penn State-Syracuse, if they don't lose to Towson. But
Big J journalism battle.
Yeah, Towson versus Syracuse. Is that what we're doing?
Bob just made a good point, echoing what Anish said on TV, that OSU has got screwed here, having to play Loyola, while Notre Dame and Marquette, who have lower seeds,
get
Marquette and Air Force. That's kind of
If they get screwed over, do you think the NCAA finally gets rid of the travel matchups rather than going straight seeding?
I would hope so.
So it's weird. Root for Loyola for the sake of getting rid of the traveling. I mean, Yale against Syracuse kind of makes sense because the Ivy League was in down year and Yale had an awful start to the season. So they're
In terms of seeding. Yale is not a...
Yeah, but Air Force is a hypothetical 12 and Marquette is a hypothetical 13, whereas Loyola is a hypothetical 14.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
God, Saturday games are so much better.
Wow.
Oh no! Yeah, they're sending them the Hofstra. That's odd because all of them look like better fits for Delaware.
Cuse is going to Delaware. I just said.
No, there's no way they're sending Cuse to Delaware.
That makes no sense.
I mean, they could be wrong, but
committee. So who's going to Hofstra? Are they sending Maryland and... Oh, God, they sending Maryland to Hofstra?
Wait, why would they send Maryland to Hofstra? None of this makes sense.
If they send Maryland to Hofstra, we have to play Albany there.
No. Maryland is Delaware.
Okay, thank God.
The 4-5 and the 3-6 are Hofstra. The 1-8 and the 2-7 are Delaware, according to what Anisha said.
Yeah, take a flyer and wait for the official bracket, because that doesn't sound right.
So the closest anyone is to Hofstra from that bracket is, like...
Is Syracuse, though.
4-5 and 3-6, the closest is Hopkins. Like, to who's closest to Hofstra?
Yeah, that makes no sense if that's the case. Let me see. Well, I mean, they are moving Syracuse to the Delaware. That makes no sense at all.
Wait, did you? Is there something on?
The NCAA website, May 21st, which is the Delaware. Why would they send Syracuse to Delaware? That makes no sense. What the hell is the NCAA smoking here?
Ryan's so mad online.
Like, it definitely doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. But
are they putting it flip flop because Duke's a Long Island draw? I guess even though they're unseeded.
Koya says this on Twitter: Syracuse draws Yale because of geographic considerations, and then doesn't even go to Hempstead.
Well, here's, I think, why they're going to Delaware, because ESPN2 has a Delaware bracket.
It's all about the ratings.
But still, Penn State and Syracuse both have Long Island alumni bases and New York City alumni bases, and they send them to Delaware for reasons.
Maryland even has a New York, New Jersey alumni base.
Like, that is going to be a...
It's okay. Syracuse isn't going to beat Yale anyway.
So. No, I know, but like,
I'll calm down.
I mean, I guess they're putting. It makes sense for Notre Dame and Denver because of the airports to New York City, but like, Ohio State and Hopkins, you're banking on, or Loyola at Hempstead. I mean, you need Duke to win in order to get a draw there.
Oh boy.
What a time to be alive.
So the top half of the bracket is clearly much stronger.
I mean, you've got the stacked Maryland, Albany, Carolina.
Yeah. I'm looking at the LAC Sports Network bracket that they just posted.
But the Notre Dame side, the Notre Dame, Denver, Marquette, and Air Force is... kind of meh.
Maryland and Ohio State, I think, have the toughest regions.
By the way, I'll just read off the women's seeds. Maryland's one seed. Stony Brook got the 8. That's a little bit of disrespect there. But that's going to be a hell of a quarterfinal, so that's going to be tough for the Terps, Maryland-Stony Brook.
I'm sure they're real scared.
4 is Penn State, Princeton's 5. I like that draw for Princeton because they could get Cornell in the second round, which would be a good rematch for them. Florida 3, Syracuse 6. I also like that for Syracuse because they get potential rematch with BC. That's familiarity. UNC is the 2 seed. Penn is the 7. That is the women's bracket. I mean, all told, I know that Syracuse is still going to be in a rough one against Yale. But that could have been a lot worse for Syracuse. So
this is a very weird bracket.
Yeah, so either
there's
Denver,
no easy games for anybody, really.
Either Denver or Notre Dame is going to make the Final Four, most likely.
Yeah. Marquette. I guess.
If Maryland can get by their quarterfinal matchup, I like them to make the championship game because I think their quarterfinal matchup is going to be tougher than their
Really. I know that. Yeah, I'm looking at the bottom half of the bracket. I wouldn't take any of those 8 against Maryland. Well, maybe Ohio State. Maybe if Syracuse can play something other than a 1-goal game, but. Yeah, I mean, that's really the toughest part for Maryland is that their own quarterfinal.
Well, the good news for Maryland is they usually don't have any problems in the quarterfinal. Their problem is...
the championship game.
Yeah.
I like Cuse's path to the Final Four.
The thing that stands between Cuse and the Final Four is Cuse.
Yes, I mean... on paper, they should have no problem with Yale and really no problem with Penn State or Towson, which means they'll lose to Yale by 1 in a 7-6.
Cuse's problem is that they're the weakest 2 seed in, 10 years. That's really Cuse's problem. They're the weakest 2 seed since the Virginia team that got pasted by Delaware 10 years ago. But yeah, other than that, their quadrant is not bad. They got a better quadrant than Maryland.
Yeah, Syracuse has the best quadrant. Syracuse is their own worst enemy because, I mean, I'm just looking at this. Syracuse should be fine until a potential Ohio State game. Keywords should.
No, Syracuse plays one ghost game to everybody, so, you know, yeah.
Yeah. We're into the video, the telephone interview portion of this show.
Maryland getting Albany is, or potentially, you know, UNC obviously could pull that upset, is reminiscent of when the committee decided that they deserve to play Rob Pinnell's Cornell in round one in 2013. God.
Cornell, Maryland, the Rangers' capitals. Lacrosse.
Like, that was a fair trade, you know, at any point whatsoever. But, yeah.
I kind of wish Hopkins didn't have the sixth seed now because they have a very tough quadrant. I'd much rather them have the seventh seed, I think.
Well, don't want to interrupt, but we're going to be adding another guest to our show.
He's hot. He's coming in hot.
He apparently rigged the draw so Syracuse wouldn't go to Hofstra and hang out with me in a tailgate.
Can you believe that Chris didn't invite Marissa and then had the gall to leave himself? Unbelievable.
I know, seriously. We could have had Marissa and had a lot better analysis, but...
Yeah. Crisper. You know.
Got to question Chris's commitment to the Title IX standards here.
It's like Marissa's our best reporter. We miss out on her. But Chris selfishly books himself in.
Unbelievable.
Just eat pizza. Just
the pure...
He only showed up for the pizza party.
That's just... You
went
can
in,
you
grabbed
believe
the pie,
it?
And dipped.
Unbelievable.
Ryder Guernsey just tweeted, Marquette got hosed.
I hear the door. That can only mean one thing.
It's me.
It's gotta be Kane. How's the pizza party?
What were the toppings?
It's a team right now, so I just stepped out. But
was it
just
stuffed crust?
I just want to add that breaking news too. I rigged the tournament quarterfinal hosting so that we could go to Delaware, which is Wawa country, and in near Philly. So.
Well, I mean, I've always said that Delaware is technically in the Philadelphia metropolitan area there in Newark, so it technically is the Philly Metro. Hey, it's my boy Kevin Harvick selling motor oil during the lacrosse selection.
Chris, show. Get us the exclusive with Sergio.
I can try once this meeting's done with the team, but I'm not going to be. I'm currently outside the locker room pacing myself.
So what was the mood like? Are people happy to play Yale?
Well, I guess, because I think our pod is overall a little bit easier than the other three, if you take a look at it, because we have the winner of Penn State Towson, but we have Yale to start off with. But I think the sentiment was we should have been playing Air Force if everything was right, because, you know, selections committee tries to save money, and
yeah,
it's
we
kind
were
of
not.
BS.
None of us were pleased with the travel situations made by the committee.
Oh yeah. It's, but you know what? I'll take the North Carolina Albany matchup. Now they're clapping. I don't know what they're clapping about. I guess it's like, let's go.
It's the most surreal experience.
Probably clapping because they don't have to play Hopkins in the quarterfinals again.
That might be true.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
This is live, folks. This is amazing.
This is right behind the
story. One small step for a blog, one giant leap for all lacrosse kind.
You know how people say, you know, they never forget where they were during, like, 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina or the tsunami or something like that, or watching something in real time unfold.
Where were you?
Barack Obama's election.
Ryan is
selecting
Sunday.
Ryan
is single-handedly going to get us all fired.
Syracuse is
this entire staff is getting fired.
Jordan Evans just left the building, by the way. So there goes that exclusive with Jordan Evans.
We're all getting fired because of this.
The only one left is going to be Joe Keith's Empress.
And the song would be much better without us.
Gonna fire all of us.
Yeah, let's open up the training room.
I can't, David. It's David Dillson, freshman. He's taking a drink of water right now. David, your thoughts about the bracket right now?
Yale's in trouble.
Yale's in trouble. You heard it here.
Yale's in trouble. Retro
freshman David Diltz.
Is this a podcast?
Hey, yes, it is, Dan Varela.
Yes, your first NCAA Division I yeah. Are you done?
Thank you.
They're like, turn that phone off, Christopher.
No, I have headphones in already. Everyone's leaving right now, but
it's not about you. It's about the listeners and the quality and integrity of the podcast.
Oh, I know.
You are single-handedly destroying this podcast integrity. Right.
Am I really?
This is why we do the live podcast.
This is live, folks, as we're playing Shell right now in the locker room.
I can't wait to see the page hits on this tomorrow.
We apologize for any explicit language that is said. This is why we do not control it. We're doing this like...
There has not been any explicit language right now, guys.
Welcome, Syracuse men's lacrosse. You're on College Crosscast.
This is like when Antonio Brown has Facebook Live. The first round win.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable right now. I think there's...
Find Desco.
He's not in the area right now, I must say.
Oh, he's getting fired? Oh, no.
He's interviewing for the Michigan job.
Is it true? He's going to Michigan.
He's not going to Michigan.
God, this podcast derailed it. This is the most common podcast thing to ever happen.
All right, so currently we have... Oh, we have an update. So we have Pittsburgh, San Jose, and HL matchup.
Yeah.
And the controller's being upgraded.
The first thing Nate Solomon said Chell, I didn't know you were saying Chell as an NHL. By the way, I just want to read off some
your podcast? And,
yes.
All right, Chris, you're going to have to be quiet.
we have some statistics.
I heard more Syracuse lacrosse players than I did anyone else during the entire
season. That was awesome. That was great.
We got some numbers that we want to read off. We want to thank everyone that's tuning into Facebook to deal with that. Our peak live viewers is 21. We got a lot
and
of
they all left. And they all left 3 minutes ago.
Our top audience is men 45-54. We're getting into that Major League Baseball territory.
That's that get money bracket. Like, don't look down at that. That's, advertisers love that.
Millennials
that's,
are killing.
That's
us.
The Mercedes Benz bracket.
We have one angry face, which is by Chris's mom, I think. Hello, Mrs. Desemsky. I'm guessing that's based on one of the rankings.
I would like to apologize to all those people who I promised I would keep this podcast under control yesterday. This is not my fault. I did what I could.
Chris was the powder. It was all going well.
It really was.
Oh, and that might actually top the presidential candidate's lacrosse program comparison talk that we had last year.
That tops the time I didn't know whether I should introduce myself during my first podcast appearance.
That was peak. That was the previous peak.
Yeah. Whoa, Taco Bell sponsoring this. We're going big. We major. Taco Bell, what to watch. We'll stay live until this goes out when the ESPNU thing's done, in case there's some ride along with Kark and Quinn or something. Like driving to the studio with the bracket they already had before anyone else, but didn't want to tell anyone or something like that.
Should we do something to try to get this under control and salvage what's been lost?
Let's go around the horn.
Yeah. Wait, guys, we have an exclusive interview with Syracuse attackman Bradley Voigt. He's on the man up unit. It's not Sergio, but it's close enough.
Hey, and he immediately walks off the interview.
Penny Inn's finest, so we'll get them right now. This is my mic. It's a headphone mic. So your thoughts about the bracket right now?
I think the bracket looks very good. I think we have a good seed, but we have a lot of work to do in order to get to Gillette. So.
Is it good that you guys have Yale, and then in the other pair, you have Penn and Towson?
I honestly think as a second seed, Yale's pretty tough, but you know, looking past that, I think we good. We match up well against the other teams, better than the other ACC teams and stuff like that.
Kind of disappointed that you're not in Hempstead in Delaware.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but I don't know.
I rigged it, by the way, because I wanted to be back in near Philly. So
and he didn't want to see me.
Oh, wow, that's pretty messed up. But yeah, we're pretty excited about it. I know, especially Brendan Bonberry, especially who's walking by right now, is really excited.
With Jagger, by the way.
Going to shoot.
Jagger's got incredible hand-eye coordination.
You want to come say hi to the followers?
This is live, Brendan and Jagger. Say hi.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Thanks for joining us. This is amazing.
This is amazing indeed. Your thoughts about the bracket?
I mean, it's just a bracket. We got to go out there and play, and it really doesn't matter who you get. Everybody's capable of winning, and you know, it's just going to come prepared and get ready to go here.
Thoughts about your quadrant overall? Penn State and Towson, you have in the quarterfinal, you beat Yale. That's kind of better than what you guys were kind of expecting.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you can't really tell with the selection committee. So, you know, it's obviously a little surprising to see other teams get some tougher draws. But, you know, we have our work cut out for us as well, so we're not looking too far ahead of us right now.
All right, Syracuse Forevers, Brendan Bonberry with Jagger and Brad Voigt. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, so much.
Mr. Big Seriously, Shot. Thank you. Seriously. Yeah.
This was amazing.
I want to praise Brendan Bonberry for the most Canadian hockey player sounding interview of all time.
That was awesome. Mr. Big Shot on air. That was great.
He's a Buffalo Sabres fan, considering that he's from Oswego, Ontario. Haven't asked about the Oilers yet, but
that just sounded like, you know, hockey player, you know, in the middle of a series.
By the way, you need a hockey update. It's 7-1 Oilers last time I checked.
This is the day Chris Ajemsi became president, yes. I think, folks.
Chris single-handedly turned us from a laughingstock to a legitimate website.
Yeah. Not even 2 minutes.
I already tagged Columbia School of Journalism. So you and Adam as future alums.
What a time!
Adam's already an alum, obviously.
I'll get my PhD from there.
Cracking the code and stuff. But I guess on a serious note, I think
what
we learn with this bracket is...
I don't know.
There's no... No,
I think with this season, we don't know.
We don't know. But, but with this bracket, there's no easy draws for anybody.
No.
I think that would have been the case either way because, you know, I mean, unlike, I guess, years past, there's not, you know, two or three clearly dominant sort of teams. This has been a wide-open year. All year, so I think we knew that no matter what the bracket was going to be, because the difference between, you know, team 2 and team 10 is quite narrower than in years past. But in terms of what the selection committee like prioritized and, you know, what trends they look for, I don't really know. This is a very bizarre bracket.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree.
I think I finally understood Eamon's tweet about the old guard. I think he thought that Air Force and Denver shouldn't have to play each other to knock out, you know, one of the two Western teams. I think that's what it says.
It doesn't make sense because you have Air Force. I get the travel stuff.
Yeah, Air Force and Marquette make sense with the travel. But then why are none of the Baltimore teams playing Hopkins?
I was assuming when we saw Ohio State play Loyola, I think we assumed that Hopkins was going to play Towson, and luckily that wasn't the case. So
I would have greatly preferred that.
I would have preferred.
I don't know.
I'm fine with what we have right now.
I would love to switch places with Penn State, be the 7 seed playing Towson and getting Cuse in the quarterfinal, then being the 6 seed playing Duke, and then getting Ohio State or Loyola in the next round.
Yeah, that probably would have been. Yeah, if Hopkins was a 7, playing Syracuse in Delaware rather than Hempstead would have been a huge benefit for them too, I would think.
Yeah, so remember that when people complain about Hopkins getting the 6 seed, they got a pretty tough draw, so it's not like they were favored or anything.
Hopkins got screwed is how I see this bracket. I mean,
we got lucky, I'll tell you that. I'll take it. And we got Delaware, so like that's always an automatic win right there.
No, it would have been an automatic win. This is you rigged it so you wouldn't have to see me. I can tell where this is going because we didn't get to see each other at the St. John's game. And now Will you still make a trip over to Hempstead in between in transit to hang out with me?
Stop with your persecution complex, McDonald.
Somebody hang out with me. I don't have a Syracuse game to deal with. But the hot at my tailgate now. I could actually that's good actually because I won't be as tense.
You covered that Hofstra CAA final when the only person in the live comments was me. You'll be fine.
That is true. Somebody join me, please.
Oh, my God, actually, I don't
know if you're
here to play.
Yeah, Hoya.
Hoya will be there with his big tent canopy for nothing. is the pit with us right now? Are they watching our good friends at the pit?
I don't think so.
If they are, can I ask why they unfollowed me on Twitter?
Oh, that's rough.
I unfollowed them back. It's just principle, guys. I love you, but it's just principle.
They had you on their pod too, and they unfollowed you.
Unbelievable.
That's embarrassing.
I'm pretty sure they followed me a few months ago, so I followed them back, and they just immediately unfollowed me.
That's I can respect that hustle.
They still follow Chris, even though Chris tells them to eat rocks.
Well, I told him to fall downstairs, but that's close enough.
Chris is rude.
Example with drinking yesterday.
You know what they should have done with this?
Anything else.
Everyone angry. Do it like they did last night with Canelo and Triple G, waiting. Do something completely stupid to set up the announcement at the very end. Oh, here's the Tuaritan nominees.
No, it's just...
Or notables. Okay, great. We got to draw this for the thing up. Hey, it's the same. It's the same five players they always mention.
Enough with Canizero. He's not a finalist.
Jake DM'd me the other day and said, like, you don't think ESPNU has changed this since the beginning?
No,
of the season?
I think they have the same five people since February, and that's like it. Like, Canizero.
We already made the footage.
You know, they added Rambo.
I think they had Rambo earlier in the season too.
Rambo's my Tuaritan winner. I think
Rambo's the Tuaritan winner in my heart, and that's all that matters.
I think I think it's between him, Spencer, and Fields, and whichever team goes deepest, that player that's on that team will win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Spencer could really make a case if Loyola goes on a deep run.
Ohio State, that would be very impressive.
Yeah, if Loyola goes on a run, Pat Spencer's going to creep.
How it'll play out. If Maryland wins the title, I would be shocked if Rambo didn't win it.
Yeah, if Maryland wins and Rambo gets it.
Yeah, I could see that because that means they'd have gotten past Albany at least.
Wait, Quinn's praising Matt.
Unbelievable, one dimensional.
Wow,
the one dimensional Matt Rambo.
You know what? I'm happy.
By the way,
he learned how to distribute the ball.
He's from LaSalle College High School, by the way. Just a heads up.
I'm happy Matt Rambo learned how to distribute the ball this year. You know,
I know. I mean,
it really opened up his game, I think.
You know, it's not like he had 30 assists last year or anything. So,
it's my boy, though. He's my boy.
Wow, that's actually Quinn's pick too. Is Rambo?
What time to be live?
As we see the same exact footage as we just saw.
Yeah, the same footage we had like all season.
The same goal against UNC.
Oh, they had the Hopkins
footage.
Good job for them.
Since everyone's on the Rambo train, my new hobby horse is Connor Kelly, first team All American. That's my new thing. I'm switching it now.
He's played like one.
Yeah.
I don't believe in heroes that much, but he was mine after that Big Ten tournament.
I think Connor Fields, I mean, he has 100 points, but the fact that looking at Albany, which is, I think, why they got an 8 seed, that they were 10-0 against, like, 21-60 RPI, 0-2 against, like, top 5.
Fields' problem is going to be the strength of schedule.
Oh, yeah. Like, they played no one. It's like Oregon, kind of, in football, like the last
and
3, 4, 5 years.
If Albany can get past Maryland, I think they'd give it Fields just based on points.
Yeah.
But they'd have to win that game.
And, like, I think with Spencer, the problem is, like, Loyola hasn't really done anything outside of win a week Patriot League.
He's fun on the radar.
I'd go with Rambo, but I think those are your three finalists right there, Fields, Spencer.
How many finalists are there, 5?
I guess there's 5.
Yeah, they haven't named them yet, obviously.
I would think Malloy would be there because, hey, he's the old
If you're
going
to go for the Ivy League, you got to go with Ben Reeves.
I think
Reeves got it. Yeah,
I would watch out for Gutterding too if Duke makes a run.
See, I like Gutterding too, but I think a lot of people are saying like he doesn't do a lot, but like he's
that's
like really
got like 90 points.
Yeah,
I would go Gutterding, Reeves, Rambo, Fields, and Spencer.
I would go with that same five, maybe, except Reeves instead, Malloy instead of Reeves, but I would get Reeves.
I mean,
the Tour Talk Committee is going to pick Malloy because, hey, he's the winner from last year. Let's have him here.
They might do that.
They might.
I would.
If marketing. Put, marketing.
If,
for the
if
money.
They put Baptiste in there, I'm not going to be particularly pleased.
Don't count out Sergio Perkovic.
Don't. Just don't.
Motor City Hitman. And his injured wrist.
The Maxiebold Memorial out of nowhere.
We kid, but he was playing really well before the injury. I mean, not to our time level, but he was playing.
Yeah,
well.
He had
13 All-American.
Yes.
13.
By the way, safe. We got a tweet from our editor, Emeritus Hoya Suxa. If you knucklehead send me an actual Big Ten canopy, I will tailgate it with it in 2 weeks in protest.
Yes.
I saw that come down. I didn't know if that was, did we provoke that or if that was just like a...
No, I think he's in my mode of, we wasted all this money on parking passes for Syracuse to not get Syracuse.
That is amazing. Like,
I was so pumped up. It would have been Syracuse, Penn State. My friend went to Penn State. We would have had an awesome tailgate divided thing going.
That's really like if you bought tickets to Canelo Chavez last night and all you got was
the Triple G announcement.
All you got was the Triple G announcement.
Well, maybe they'll announce like something big at the end of the quarterfinals. Like, I don't know. Like,
we're nothing, building right. A new stadium. This is your life now. This is your life.
This is how we live now. This is how we survive.
No, but actually, on the flip side, if Hopkins wins, I could make a sign that just says Johns Hopkins lost 18-7 on ranked Princeton.
I thought you were going to be a legitimate journalist and cover this in the press box.
You know, I'm not.
See, I was going to go to Delaware if we were in Hempstead, but no. But I guess I ranked it and went because of Wawa. So
no, I did cover it in 2014, but this year I'm doing it a little bit differently because I loved it up there in the press box, but I kind of missed out doing it in the stands. So I'm going to do it kind of Spencer Hall style and give you a perspective from the stands.
Wait, Spencer Hall's like the former Sixer Spencer Hall's?
No, Spencer Hall. Of Every Day Should Be Saturday.
I thought I heard Spencer Hawes for a second.
Yeah, literally Spencer Hawes.
By the way,
yeah.
Complete auto racing tangent because commercials on the Indianapolis
Grand Prix. No, you're not doing this. You're not doing this today, Ryan.
While we're on commercial, I'm not saying the NCAA is a soulless conglomerate that only cares about money, but they kind of are. Like,
they do.
To not send Syracuse to Hofstra, which, I mean, Hofstra is pretty much going to be a sellout or close to it, but it would have been pretty much guaranteed. You know,
are they banking that Hofstra is going to be a sellout either way? So they just
Yeah, that might be why they put us in Delaware.
But also, I think they're banking on Duke pulling off an upset of Hopkins because Long Island's most popular team, believe it or not, is Duke.
Oh, so, right, because of Donowski love?
Yeah, Donowski, yeah. So they might be banking on that. I think the other thing is that Chris wasn't here when we were talking about when they put it in. It's because ESPN2 has the Delaware bracket, so
mm-hmm.
The ratings.
Yep.
It's all about getting that 0.75 rating for the networks of ESPN.
But that kind of that also like from like the Q standpoint, that gives us a little that gives a full week over just 6 days what we had last year because we played that Sunday night and then we would have to travel Friday. Like last year when we went to Rhode Island.
Okay. We got the ESPNU panel making their picks.
Oh, I'm not watching, but all right.
Okay, Quinn has three Big Ten teams.
Three Big Ten teams. Quinn has three Big Ten teams? Oh, my God.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love this.
God's conference. Wait, he has Penn State over us?
Yes, he has
yes,
Penn State.
He does.
That's assuming
I'm not shocked.
He doesn't have Hopkins, though. That's a shocker.
He hates Hopkins.
Paul has Albany. Clark has Albany in the Final Four against Denver and then Ohio State Syracuse.
Yes!
Okay.
I can't love Clark anymore.
This is the best timeline. Quint has three Big Ten teams
and
all.
Clark
has Albany.
I can't love Clark anymore. I'm sorry. It's been a great run.
I still love him. I
think this just shows how like Denver got a really easy draw.
Because I mean I don't. Anish has UNC.
Oh, Anish. Oh, I'm not shocked.
But all of them have Denver. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Denver,
well, Denver isn't else? Easy because Notre Dame is literally have like one arm on them. So I would think that would.
But Denver is also susceptible to an upset because, I mean, remember last year they got knocked out first round in a big shocker.
I am seeing this blatant disrespect, and I am not going to forget it in 3 weeks.
Okay, here we go. We're going to restall this out for the championship picks.
They should have switched Denver and Albany seeds.
Yes.
And that would make such a better bracket.
Saturday's game.
Oh,
just...
we're not even. Oh, wow! Way to wimp out and not give us a title naming pick or anything. Come on, guys. Anise is bringing up a drinking game that we should have maybe done.
Uno bingo game.
Yeah, we didn't actually come up with a Selection Sunday game. I'm disappointed in ourselves.
We're a family.
We're a family podcast for the most part. Yes,
this I didn't is a say drinking production. Beer. I said just
we have
drinking.
A family audience.
For the most part, depends. Beer.
There is one game on Sunday I'm excited for. It's Loyola Ohio State. The other three games are
not even excited bad. For that. I'm gonna sleep the entire time.
I mean, well, there's got to be hockey. Oh no, that's right. There's the Players Championship, so the game would be on at night on NBCSN. Oh, it's not even hockey. I mean, there's maybe basketball, but
conference finals, maybe.
What are Clark and Quinn doing? This is great television. Wait, three
topics? All right, picks time.
All right.
Well, and he says one upset, Duke over Hopkins.
Should we give our picks before we
sign off
here?
Let's do it. Quinn picking Duke over Hopkins is his only upset.
That well, doesn't Carolina count as an upset? Just do, like...
He didn't pick Carolina.
Yeah, Anish picked Carolina to go to the...
No, I'm saying Quinn. No, I'm saying Quinn.
Oh.
Picked. Oh, Quinn.
Hat. Yeah, his only upset pick was Hopkins over Hopkins losing to Duke. Go figure. Alrighty, so yeah, so let's, I guess, wrap things up because we've more than overstayed our welcome.
I just sent you guys a full bracket, so that is easier to look at.
Bang.
Perfect, okay.
I'm just truly sorry about all this.
Yeah, we apologize. This is why we do the live show, because...
It's so much fun.
Because you never know what happens.
Alrighty, I'll go first. I got Maryland coming out of that region. I'll take Notre Dame, assuming they get healthy. I think they're the best team in that quadrant. That quadrant stinks.
Adam, do each one.
Each game.
Who do you got? Yeah, just for fun. I mean, we got.
Yeah,
time.
We're gonna do a more formalized in a couple days, but this is instant analysis.
Instant analysis.
Yeah,
I'll take Maryland. Over whoever they play.
Who do you think is going to play? Ryan or Monmouth?
I'll take Monmouth, Jersey Strong.
Jersey!
I love you, Adam. I got Albany over North Carolina, and then I got Maryland over Albany. I got Denver over Air Force, Notre Dame over Marquette, and then Notre Dame over Denver, and then Maryland over Notre Dame for the Final Four. The other side, I got Ohio State over Loyola, Duke over Hopkins, and then Duke over Ohio State.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ever count out touchdown John Donowski?
Yep.
Ooh.
And exactly. Then I got a Towson over Penn State.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Syracuse over Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Syracuse over Towson.
Ooh.
And then Duke over Syracuse. I got a Maryland Duke final. And I'll go with Maryland. Finally ending the drought. It's about fucking time. Oh, excuse me.
He didn't say the whole word.
He said the four letters.
My God. We're all
Sunday good. Night. I'm ready.
What
I'm
a
ready.
Bleep show.
Good. My goodness. All right, I'll go.
Live, folks.
Restore some etiquette here.
This is how they took down the gong show. Exactly.
I'll go Maryland over Monmouth. Albany over North Carolina, Denver over Air Force. I thought about it for a little bit there. Marquette over Notre Dame.
Thank you.
I'll say Maryland over Albany in the quarterfinal. Denver beats Marquette in that quarterfinal. I can't believe I'm picking Denver to go to the Final Four, but that's that bracket. Ohio State over Loyola. Johns Hopkins over Duke. Towson over Penn State, Syracuse over Yale, Ohio State over Johns Hopkins, Towson over Syracuse, Maryland over Denver in the first semifinal, Ohio State over Towson in the second semifinal, and in a rematch of last night's classic Big Ten Championship, Maryland beats Ohio State and ends the drought.
Oh, yeah, so I'll go next. I'll go with the playing game first. Bryant's going to beat Monmouth 1-0 in the most boring game of all time. Then Maryland will beat Bryant by a score of 9-2 because Bryant plays boring lacrosse. I'm going to go with Albany over UNC. And that, I'm going to go Maryland again by 2 goals over Albany. I think Albany's pretty good, but I think Maryland's going to be a lot better. 4-5 bracket, Denver over Air Force, Marquette over Notre Dame, and my God, if Marquette beats Denver again, the Jordan Brand will be the all-time winner in the NCAA tournament, but I'm going to go Denver over Marquette. The 3-6s, I'm going to go Ohio State over Loyola. I had to think about that one. I think that goes into overtime. And then the 6th seed, it's going to be Duke over Hopkins. And then that will be, that's going to be Ohio State over Duke. And then 2-7, it will be Penn State over Towson. Syracuse will get over that graduation hump. They'll win by a goal over Yale. And then they'll beat Penn State by a goal. And then the final 4 will be Maryland over Denver, Cuse over Ohio State by a goal, and then Maryland will beat Syracuse by a goal. And Matt Rambo wins.
That sounds about right.
Ron, you want to go? Oh, okay.
I could go.
Yeah, that.
Give me, as much as I love Monmouth, I had a fun weekend there sophomore year. It's a beautiful campus. I'm going to go with Ron.
Family podcast, Ryan.
I had a fun time in Monmouth. It's a nice campus. Where did I say anything about anything like that? It was fun.
Why would you spend spring break at Monmouth anyways?
I spent a weekend. It was to go to the Syracuse-Princeton game that weekend.
Family podcast, Ryan. Unbelievable.
SB Nation's like, we finally got these guys. We're shutting this whole...
Nothing's more explicit than a 7-5 Syracuse-Princeton game.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true.
Give me... Albany UNC is so freaking tough. Maryland over Bryant. Albany UNC is going to kill me. That is such a tough game to pick. Give me Albany. I think home field advantage means something, that one. That's going to be a classic. Denver and Air Force. Oh, my God. This is such a terrible portion of the bracket. Denver over Air Force. Notre Dame over Marquette. Like Ohio State over Quality Win Loyola. Duke over Hopkins. Never count out. Touchdown, John Donowski. Give me Penn State over Towson. Yale over Syracuse in a 1-goal game. Then on to the quarterfinals. Give me Maryland over Albany in another classic. Give me Denver over Notre Dame in a good God, that game is going to be something. You know what? Not going to count out touchdown John Donowski. As much as I like Ohio State, yes. I'm going to go with Duke in this one. I like Penn State over Yale.
Whoa, wait. You're saying Syracuse loses.
Yes, I said Yale over Syracuse.
You went to Syracuse, but
I understand
right,
that. I'm.
Seems like he enjoyed his weekend at Monmouth more than that.
No, I love Syracuse, but I mean, you know, I think that I picked against Syracuse like every other game because I just don't feel confident in them. Something's gotta run out with this team, unfortunately. They're playing with fire too much, and I was like this with Notre Dame last year. And it ended
regressing to graduation.
Where was I? Maryland's gonna kill Denver. Give me Duke over Penn State because never count out touchdown John Donowski. And then give me one of these years I'm going to pick Maryland and it actually works and they actually break the curse of Bob Boniello. So for let's try it again this year, Maryland national champs.
All right. Jersey over Bryant, and then Maryland stomps Monmouth. I'm going to go with Albany over North Carolina. I'm going to go with Air Force over Denver.
Yes.
And I'm going to go with Marquette over Notre Dame.
Yes. My God.
On the other side, I'm going to go with Ohio State over Loyola. I am going to count out touchdown John Donowski because they haven't done anything in May in the last 2 years, getting knocked out of the first round. So Hopkins is going to advance. Towson over Penn State. Love Penn State, but Nadelin is a great coach. And I'm a little worried about that game. I'm going to go with Syracuse over Yale. I think it's going to be a close one, but I'm going to go the Orange. Then I'm going to go Maryland over Albany in a very tightly contested affair. I'm going to go with Marquette over Air Force. I'm going to go Hopkins over Ohio State. This is just a blatant homer one.
Yes.
Then I'm going to go with Syracuse over Towson.
You're either going to go Big Ten Thank homer you. Or duopoly homer. Well, you already knocked out Penn State.
So well, I'm gonna go back to our first pot of the year where I predicted Syracuse versus Hopkins in the semifinal game.
Yeah, you did.
And then I'm going to pick Maryland over Marquette. I'm going to go Syracuse over Hopkins. And Maryland versus Syracuse, but I think Maryland wins this one. And I think it's going to be by a goal, and the Terps are going to break the drought.
Funny feeling, if it's Maryland-Syracuse in the championship game, it's not going to be a one-goal game, and Maryland's probably going to win by four. So just throwing that out there.
So do we all have Maryland?
I think so.
Yeah.
Kill me now.
Oh, no.
Kill
yeah,
me
if we if you remember Chris
now.
And Shakes and I, we did the hockey playoff predictions.
We're not dead yet.
Blackhawks over Capitals.
We're not dead yet.
If Maryland doesn't do it this year with that senior class, they will never win a championship. Ever. They will never do it.
That's what y'all told me before the season under the number one seed again. So y'all told me last year they weren't going to do this again. And
I didn't say that. Somebody else might have said that.
Here's the thing with Notre Dame. If like they can get Ryder, Garnstein, Berkovic, like operation style, and like get like the little like Adam's apple out of like you know like how you like get those like little tweezers. Oh, if they can do that with like Ryder's foot and Sergio's like wrist or whatever, I think they'll make the final four. But that's if they only do it operation style. If they don't, then they're going to lose to Marquette.
I mean, maybe you know Notre Dame could just like sneak Scotty Rogers under the helmet of Shane Doss.
Levittown represent.
Maybe that'll help them. Just you know.
Get Eamon a couple of runs. Let's be real with Notre Dame.
Eamon, bring back Glenn Kokeman.
We like the Irish. I find Corrigan cool, dude. We love Jerry Brand. Tale of two seasons for them. Won 5 of the first 6, and only lost that one game to Denver to start out the season. They are 3-4 in their last 7 games, and in their 3 wins, were all by only 1 point. That Marquette game could easily have gone to Marquette. Marquette missed a guy wide open in front of the crease in their last possession. North Carolina game was back and forth. They could have lost that. And Duke, 7-6, that's kind of a toss-up type of game. I'm not saying Notre Dame can't make a run and make all of us look foolish, but just the way that they have been playing. And Ryder, Gardenzi, and Berkovich were playing in that Marquette game. Back on April 11th, and you know Marquette was able to keep that game pretty close. And like I said, I thought they had it there for a couple minutes. So I'd just be a little concerned if I was Notre Dame fans. I mean, like you know, they could, like I said, surprise everything and then make a run and go all the way to Foxborough. But just the way they've been playing the last 7 games has just been a little bit, you know, I'd be a little uncomfortable, especially considering they're only playing 13 games this whole season. You know, they kind of perfectly scheduled the season to only have ACC opponents or top non-conference, so they have like an excellent resume. But given the fact that they didn't play 16 games like some other teams, it is a little odd just the way they've kind of finished towards the end. But you know, maybe they. I think I'm with Chris. Chris and I were talking about. I thought it was a good call to not play Garnsey and Perkins-Kovic in the Army game. Just the Service Academy games are just
brutal. It's more important brutal games. It's more important to give them the health that they need to make a run in May if they last
you don't, the game. You don't need to play against literal soldiers. You know, in the last game.
Literal soldiers, that's true.
In a game that doesn't really matter.
A key number for Notre Dame. Since putting up 16 goals against Georgetown and Michigan the first 2 weeks of the season, they have averaged 8.8 goals the rest of the way. 8.8 goals in their last 11. What, they play 13 games this season? So, yeah, they've averaged 8.8 goals in their last 11 games. That's, I mean, you know, I know they beat Duke 7-6. They've, you know, found some ways to win in close defensive games before, but I don't think that scoring 8 goals is going to get it done if they want to make a run to Foxborough, especially with Perkovic and Garnsey banged up.
Alrighty, so I guess why don't we pull the plug on this? Well, we want to thank the 6 viewers that are still on board with us. We had a blast doing this on Facebook Live.
I think half of them are my family members, so shout out to them.
We get bigger numbers, you know, than the actual live
thing. I was watching the at the beginning when at like 8:30, we had like 20 viewers. So shout out to those 20. We actually got we got a women's lacrosse player from Syracuse following us now, which is actually phenomenal.
What a time to be alive!
Yes, eventually we'll get that women's lacrosse podcast on.
Jordan
Evans joined in for a little bit.
No, you won't, Ryan.
I won't because my contact always blows it off.
Contact. I'm sure.
I know women. I'm sorry. I'm not living in the basement.
I know women.
And we're good. I wasn't going that far.
And we're gonna finish on that note.
All right. So as usual, you can follow us on Twitter at SexyTimeX is the primary one for College Cross. You can also follow me at RyanMcKee29
at @ATVS_JakeNazar.
At CF Dostramski for me. I don't know who's going to go in order, but oh well.
No, that's a perfect one. But...
Adam's verified.
Oh, yes. Hello.
the Adam Epstein. Hey, folks. I'm your boy, Erie_Barrister, and at Sexy Time Lax for the myth count.
Yep, and follow us all. NCAA Tournament Long. We've got takes. We got analysis. We got a lot of fun. A lot of great articles in the pipeline. Joe and Marissa and Hoya Sucks have some great stuff, too, coming this tournament. So
you actually like them now, but you'll like their stuff even more now.
And they'll be taking over after SB Nation.
SB Nation's firing all of us after tonight. So it's been a good run. We'll do our own.
You finally got them.
You can't
really get fired if you're not getting paid or anything. Yeah, so.
www.collegecross.com for all our articles. Join in on the comments, all that good stuff.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Instagram, I've been doing a lot of exclusive content at college_cross. Facebook, if you're watching this here. If not, if you're listening to a tape, call us College Cross. We don't have a Snapchat yet. We don't
plan on having one.
Yeah, we don't plan on having one, so screw that. And, yeah, and that's about it. We'll have another podcast a little bit later in the week to get you all set for the first round, and we have a special one too. Knock on wood, and we'll have some other goodies throughout the tournament. So, hang on tight, and thanks for joining along on this wild ride that is Selection Sunday.
It's a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Take care, everyone.
Tell my family I love them.
Rest in peace, Rutgers.
R.I.P.
Free Rutgers!
It's the Whitney curse.
Yes, that is a good point. Chris is now the little B of College Lacrosse. Stay hydrated, everybody.